Hey friends, on your way in today, you should have received a handout. If you didn't get one, you might want to raise your hand. We're going to be referring to that a couple of times. And those of you that are watching online, in the next hours, we'll also put a downloadable copy of the notes right online so you can follow along with us and know exactly what we're talking about and have something to reference. We are beginning a new series today called Multiply. Everybody say multiply. And we're going to find that word right in our key text, and we're going to be starting this morning in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, and you have a bit of that there in your notes. Genesis 1, 27, 28 reads this. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Here's something that just amazes me, and it's so rich and so beautiful, that the very first words ever recorded of God speaking to humanity was a blessing. It was his blessing. I mean, wouldn't it just like be so cool if we could like eavesdrop, right? Like this is God and Adam and Eve and they're in the garden, and wouldn't it be just amazing if like we could just like, oh man, I would love to have heard that blessing. See, because God was conveying to his creation his love for them, his promise for them, his divine favor for them, his blessing. And then he gives them like a mission as well. It says, you know, bless them. It said, be fruitful and multiply. And he gives them this mission of like ruling over all of his creation. He gave that to humanity, the word to rule and to reign over all of his creation. Amazing. But I think as part of that blessing, he said, not only are you going to have this mission, but I'm going to give you everything you need to accomplish it. I'm not going to leave anything out. So I'm giving you bodies that will be strong. I'm giving you a mind that has understanding and wisdom and creativity to address whatever things that you might face in your life. And you know what? And I made two of you. Because I'm also blessing you with community and the capacity to increase, to reproduce, be fruitful, and multiply. So God blesses them. And then immediately after it says that he blesses them, he gives them four words. Four words. And I believe that this very simple four-word statement is like a master key that unlocks how are we supposed to live in that blessing? That blessing of God that he spoke over humanity. How are we to live in it? You know what a master key is, right? I remember when I first came to Santa Maria Foursquare Church, I was introduced to Mel Ocampo, our amazing facilities director. He's just an incredible man of God. Love Mel. But I'm telling you, he walked with a bit of a limp. And the reason he was walking with a limp is because there were so many keys hanging from this key ring. I mean, literally, I think there must have been over 100. There were dozens and dozens. And because this church is like really old, right? So one of the things that I committed to was that when we can, we are going to rekey this campus, and so there's going to be a master key. And so soon enough, we got to do that, and he went from this key ring that was pounds of keys hanging off his waist to one key that would rule them all. It's the master key. It's like It's like when God spoke this, be fruitful and multiply, I believe that is like a master key. It's not. It's like you don't need to remember 50 things. You need like a special key, like for your body or for your mind, or if you got anxiety, or if you got this problem, or you got warts, or you got, I don't know, you know, you don't need like, he like said, this is how you are to live in my blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. When you think about those words, be fruitful and multiply, it can almost sound like God is stuttering. Right, it's like, well, be fruitful and multiply. Isn't that like the same thing? You're just like repeating yourself. I mean, it kind of sounds like he was just saying, go make lots of babies. And it's so important that I'm going to tell you twice. No, I really mean it. Go. Go and make babies. Go, go, go. Get out. Go make babies. That's kind of what it sounds like. Be fruitful and multiply. But actually, those two ideas of being fruitful and multiplying are quite different. And, of course, they are, as you would imagine, two different words in Hebrew. And they're there in your notes. The first word is para, be fruitful. This has to do with flourishing, prospering, and thriving. This is like, this is a blessing that comes inside of me. That I would like personally be fruitful. That there would be this sense of completeness and wholeness where I'm just like, I am feeling just so blessed by God. Like I am internally, my mind, my body, my spirit, it's in alignment. I feel like I am thriving. And that's this conveyed in this word, para. Be fruitful. Like every area of your life, there's not one little bit of barrenness inside. But every area of your life, I want you to experience the fruitfulness that I have for you. So be fruitful. But then there's the second word. This first word is para. The second word is rabah. Para and rabah. Do both. And rabah is different than that personal, inward kind of thriving. It has to do with the blessing that is outside of me. It has to do with multiplication. It has to do with beyond just thriving internally. This means that I'm supposed to like do things that are to take what is in me and to sow them, to give them, to get them out of me so that this blessing does not only reside in me, but I'm to be a blessing giver. That I am to reproduce. Because it has to do with reproduction. It does have to do with making babies. It has to do with reproducing this fruitfulness that God has given me and giving it away. Not only do I get to experience the blessing, but I've been created in such a way that I would give the blessing away. So that not only am I thriving, but I'm causing others to thrive around me. This is God's intent for humanity. That both things would be going on simultaneously. Everybody say para and rabah. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, you may be like doing what I did and is like thinking about this through scripture, and because when you get to the New Testament, there is a counterpart idea that is almost exactly the same. And it is the idea of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. It's almost the exact same ideas, but kind of like in reverse. When we sow, what are we doing? We are multiplying. We are taking some of that seed that God has given us, and we're saying, I'm not going to hold on to all of that. I am going to give it. I am going to sow it, which always means that it is leaving me. I got to say goodbye to some of that fruitfulness. That it's not all designed for me. That if God has put seed in my hand, I can know this, that not all of it was I supposed to keep. That it was not all for me, that I'm supposed to give it. That's sowing. But guess what God's word says? That we're not only to sow, we are to reap. There is sowing. Why? So that there will be a harvest. That there will be bounty. There will be abundance. Sounds like God's blessing. And that that harvest would be so significant. Guess what? It doesn't just bless other people. It comes back and blesses me as well. In fact, we'll be looking at this in some future weeks. But what does God's word say about sowing and reaping? That they're like tied together. It's like the amount we sow is going to have a direct correlation to the amount that we harvest. It's like, do you want a little blessing? Or do you want a big blessing? Sow accordingly. If you want a big blessing, sow big. Because it says, to the same measure that we sow, we will also reap. This is the model, the master key of how we are to live within the blessing of Jesus. So, today's just like this introductory conversation to kind of get us on the same page and headed in the same direction. Now, over the coming weeks, we're going to be talking a lot about be fruitful and multiply, or shortcut. Sometimes I just say BFAM, okay? BFAM, B-F-A-M, be fruitful and multiply. It's the shortcut. But I believe that there are five core concepts that have to do with this BFAM idea, this be fruitful and multiply. And we see these all through Scripture. And if you don't believe me, I have a document that is on my computer. Put this little Google, it's in my Google Drive. It is like, I think it's over 30 pages long of scriptures related to just these five ideas. This concept, this master key that unlocks how God might I live in your blessing is all through Scripture. But as I've studied it and studied it literally over the last 10, 15 years, I've come to see five, what I would really believe are core concepts that all need to be activated for this be fruitful and multiply to actually work. And so today, I just want to like give you a little bit of a head start and an overview so that you know kind of this is the direction that we're going in the next weeks as we dive deeper into these. But are you ready for the five? Yes. And each of them has a cute little icon to go with it. Help you remember. And just a little shorthand. Number one, the first core concept is to sow selflessly. Sow selflessly. And they're in the notes. It says, we stand at the crossroads of self-preservation and selfless giving. Like you can just see it. I mean, there's like, it's two ways to live our lives. We either hold on and cling to what we already have, which, by the way, remember, was provided by the Lord in the first place, right? He's given us everything that we have to begin with, but we have two ways to live. We're either going to say, oh, I gotta hold on to the little I have, kind of trying to create, manufacture my own blessing. Or I can choose to die to myself, which I think is one of those big things Jesus talks a lot about. You know, like the first is actually the last. Those who are gonna lead are gonna serve. It's all about learning to say, God, I'm dying to myself here. I thought kill the flesh so that like I'll understand that I can just live in a way that I can give selflessly, so abundantly. God, you've given me this seed. God, I want to just like, I want to like share it. I want to give it. I want to bless my family. I want to bless my neighbors. I want to bless the people I go to school with. I want to bless the people I go to work with. I want to bless the people in my neighborhood. I want to bless my friends in Playa del Carmen and Casa de Fe. God, I want to just be a blessing. How can I take what you have given me and give it away? And that is all wrapped up in this first idea of sowing selflessly. The second idea, and you see the little icon there, it's of this hand grasping another hand. Well, that top hand, that's God's hand. That is like, I am locking on to you, Jesus, and the concept is to trust fully. To trust in him. See, it's as we discover that God is faithful and he is trustworthy, you know what that does? It like amazingly unlocks this new capacity for generosity. Because if I do not trust God to provide for what I need, then guess who's responsible for providing all my needs? This guy. I am. And so I can't be holding on to him. I'm like holding on to my stuff and I'm holding on to myself and I'm like, I'm just trying to preserve what I have. But when I lock onto him and say, God, you got me. You are my provider. You are my sustenance. You have given me everything that I already have and you're gonna continue to give it as long as there's breath in these lungs. God, I am trusting you. And when we fully trust him, guess what? Then I'm like free to give. Because he's already provided and he's going to continue to do so. So we learn to trust him fully. The third concept is redefining riches. Redefine riches. And this little icon, you know what it's representing? Is we're like knocking over the world's concept of riches here. It's like Jesus saying, no, no, no. That dollar sign, no, we're just tipping it right over. Because that is not where our true riches lie. The world thinks about riches one way, right? The one who dies with the most toys wins. Like it's about just amassing how many dollars can I get in my lifetime? And Jesus brings this whole other definition of what true riches are. And frankly, they're the things that we can't touch. They're the things that are invisible. They're the things of God's kingdom. It's about his love and about his grace and about how we get to like live in that and pour it out to others. It's about that feeling that you get when you're like with your closest family or with your dearest friends and just that embrace. Like that is worth so much more than dollars and cents. There is something that is eternal about God's kingdom that will never be captured in a human bank account. And so there's this idea of we have to redefine what riches I'm going to seek after. Number four, fourth concept is this, amplify Jesus. Amplify Jesus. I'm not creating my own Jesus. I'm just amplifying him. I'm taking his words and his deeds. And when you think about, well, what does it look like to sow selflessly? Well, I believe it happens in a million different ways. It like happens in so many different ways. It's not just about money. It's about what are the things we saw Jesus do? Did he forgive people? Oh, so when I amplify Jesus through my forgiveness, I'm making him look good because he did this for me. And so when I forgive someone else, I'm just amplifying his message. I'm saying, Jesus, I just want to magnify you. I want to make you great. And so maybe it's through forgiveness. Maybe it's through sharing that story of the gospel that came alive in your heart. Maybe you've been set free by Jesus. How do you amplify that work of Jesus who set you free? Helping others get free. Sharing the testimony of your freedom and saying, man, God got me free. He can free you as well. Whatever it might be, we're going to be exploring a lot of those different ways, but it all comes down to what does it look like to sow selflessly? It looks like we're amplifying Jesus through our words and through our deeds, through what we say and through our actions. And then the last one, and this is my favorite little icon right here. It's the happy boxing glove. We are called to resist joyfully. Resist joyfully. And I love in the kingdom of God, there's often these like opposites. You know, like the first will be last. You know, those like opposite ideas. You know what? God says that he loves a cheerful giver. And so when we say resist joyfully, we are standing firm against any temptation that would cause us to want to hold on to what God has given and not release it selflessly. To say, no, you hold on to those things. You don't sow them. It's about you. If you don't watch out for your stuff, no one else is. And so you just got to self-protect. And those are temptations that we have to fight against, or we will never live in that be fruitful and multiply blessing of the Lord. But we don't do it angrily. We do it with a big smile on our face, saying, oh man, I get to dive into this battle empowered by the joy-filled Holy Spirit. How do we know that we have a joy-filled Holy Spirit? Because it's one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And so with joy, with cheerfulness, I'm like, yeah, let's go. We're getting after this. And we're going to fight everything that would stand in the way of me living in his blessing by being fruitful and multiplying. So in these next few minutes, we're going to look at one teaching of Jesus from Luke chapter 12. And as we do, I'm just going to pause as we go through, because in this one passage, Jesus addresses each of these five core concepts in just one short teaching that he brought to his disciples. So we're just going to, like, today, this introductory, we're trying to make sure, okay, we're understanding, like, the big ideas and concepts. We're going to go much deeper into these in the weeks to come. But let's look at Luke chapter 12 and what Jesus was talking about to his closest friends and followers. Starting off in verse 22 of Luke 12, Jesus says this. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear, for life is more than food and your body more than clothing. What is Jesus doing here? He's putting that little happy face boxing glove on his disciples, and he's like, come on, you better lace those up tight, because you have to resist these things. The worry that tries to sneak in just to our everyday workaday, going to school, living life, getting up again, facing the same challenges that I faced when I went to sleep last night, they can just try to bring all of this concern and worry. Now, yes, it's about food and it's about clothing. For some people, it's about a roof over their head. For some people, it's about their job. For some people, it's health concerns, just the stuff that we deal with as part of our lives. And Jesus says, do not worry. Lace up those gloves, you guys. Strap them on. Boom. We're getting after this. Jesus says, resist these things. And then he goes on. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valued to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. And what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, you can trust me fully. You can trust me. I will care for you. Like, I've got all the resource in the universe. Do you think that I can't put food on your table? Do you think that my arm is too short to just reach that need that you have? I created that arm. I created everything, right? I mean, scripture tells us that he has like the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, that's just like for one hamburger, right? I mean, he's got everything at his disposal. And he's good. So guess what? He cares. He cares deeply about what you care about. He cares about what you are facing. And so he says, no, 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 trust me. Trust me. Why don't we just personalize that? He will certainly care for me. Can you just put that on your lips? He will certainly care for me. One more time. He will certainly care for me. Trust me, he says. And then he goes on. Why do you have so little faith? Okay, get ready to put back on those boxing gloves. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. And I love what he says here. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your father already knows your needs. Listen, I mean, so he's saying, strap on those boxing gloves again, because we've got to get past unbelief. That unbelief is like, God, I think that you're real, but I don't know that I can fully trust you in these matters. I don't know if my faith extends that far. And he said, we've got to fight against that unbelief that would want to creep over. Amen. This morning, we prayed against cancer. Amen. Cancer is a big, scary word. My God is bigger than cancer. My God is bigger than cancer. Resist those things that would want to steal our trust in him. Stand against unbelief, because these are the things that dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. And I'm like, God, I don't want to be counted in that camp. I don't want you to look down and say, man, you're acting just like people who don't know me. Oh, God, I do know you. And I am putting my trust fully in you. So God, help me to have the courage to fight, because that unbelief is coming. The enemy will use anything at his disposal to try to sneak in to our thoughts and our lives and try to take over and consume us. And friends, we gotta fight. We gotta fight. So Jesus goes on. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. And here, Jesus begins to help them redefine riches. Instead of chasing after all that other stuff, You only need to chase after one thing. Chase after my kingdom. Get after it. Right? Like, get after it. Because when you do, all these other things are going to come into alignment. All those other things that you need, I'm going to help take care of those. Because remember, I'm your provider. Right? So he helps them to redefine their riches. And then immediately he gets after another of these concepts because he says this. Next, he says, sell your possessions. Uh-oh, now it's getting real. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. And here, Jesus is telling them, listen, when you've done these other things, when you put your trust in me and learn to fight these things that are coming to steal your blessing and your mission, he said, now you get to sow selflessly. You get to take some of the things that I've given you and use them to be a blessing in the lives of others. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. He's saying, take some of the things that I gave you. I gave them to you. I can give you more. You don't need to like fret, worry, or be in doubt about my ability to meet your needs. So guess what? You get to be a giver. You get to take some of that seed of what I gave you and sow it into others. And then I love what he does here. He not only says to sow selflessly, but he immediately says, and guess what? There's going to be a reward for that. When you do that, when you learn that, like, no, we're redefining these riches and all the seed that I have, I don't have to like try to protect it and like hold on to it and cling to it. I can begin to do this and begin to give of what God has given me. He says, guess what? You are going to have a reward for that. And it's an eternal reward. He says, you sow and you're going to reap. But he says, you're going to do that eternally. Now, in the weeks to come, we're going to see that that return on the investment that we're making, that has practical, real world today implications, like being blessed even here on earth. But guess what? He's also reminding them, if you have to choose between an earthly bank account or a heavenly one, which one do you really want to get fat? Because, like, I know what Jesus has told us, and you've heard me say it before. Life is short, eternity is long. So which bank account would you rather be billed in? And he says, man, when you learn to be a giver, a selfless giver, you know what's happening? That heavenly bank account is growing fat. Friends, play the long game. Sow into eternity. And then Jesus finishes with this one statement that really is, I believe he's explaining to his friends how life works. And he says this, where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. Our heart always follows our treasure. And I believe he is talking about amplifying Jesus in our own life. Like, what is your greatest treasure? Because if it's not Jesus, it's going to be really evident because your heart will be chasing whatever your greatest treasure is. What do you value the most? What do you value the most? What do you value the most? Well, you can discern that Because it's where your heart always wants to go. And so guess what happens? Where your heart goes, the rest of your life follows. It's where you spend your time. It's what you're spending your money on. Your resource goes, right, where your heart goes. And so he's like, make sure you know what is of the greatest value to you. And there's this invitation, Jesus, I want to make you my number one. Because if I do, if I seek first your kingdom, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be living in his blessing. Because he said, I'm going to supply all those other things that you need. I am not going to leave you wanting. I'm not going to leave you without. Live in my blessing by making me your number one, Jesus says. Everything else flows from this one thing. Where our treasure is, our heart's going to be there also. And guess what? Where your heart is, everything else follows. From our bank accounts to the way we raise our kids to dedicating our babies over to Jesus. Jesus, you've gifted me with this child. Now I give him back. I give him back. God, you gave me this job. I give it back to you. I just want to serve you in this job that you've given me. God, you put breath in my lungs. I want to use every day that you give me, Lord, to serve you, to amplify you into the world around me. Let's close with a proverb. I said you can see these concepts and ideas all through Scripture, but let's close with this. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. And I love the way this is paraphrased in the Message Bible. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Listen, guys, do you want to live in the blessing of God? Pour blessing out. Do you want to receive all that God has for you? Give it away. Take what he has resourced you with and pour it into the lives of others. I am so excited to explore this much, much deeper in the weeks to come. But man, I am so excited about where his word is leading us. Because he is inviting us to join him on mission. And as we do that, you guess what, you guys? We get to experience his blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. The very last line on that little handout says the key to living in God's blessing is cause others to experience his blessing. That is the key. I believe, listen, we all know how good it feels to be fruitful. We almost don't need a reminder to para. You know what we need a reminder to do? Rabah. Right? We get para. Oh, to be fruitful, to thrive personally, to experience that joy that he has for us. Oh, and he does. And he's got more. More's coming. More para, Lord, more para. More reaping, Lord, yes. But the key is to rabah, to remember that it is not all for me, that what he has put into my hand, I have been given it so that I can sow it into the lives of others. So I can sow it into the lives of others. If we want to live in God's blessing, we need to learn that the key is to cause others to experience his blessing as well. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. A message like this is so convicting to me. Because, Lord, I know that even pastoring a church, it could get so easy to look at all the things that need attention and can just become worried about, well, how are we gonna do this? How are we gonna do that? Just the stuff of life. But God, we are so reminded today that it is about your kingdom. And that as we seek your kingdom first, as we put you above all else, all these other things fall into line. Because, Lord, you care for us. You care for us. The very first words you spoke to humanity was a blessing. Because you're good. And because you are filled with love and filled with grace. And we get to experience your favor. So, Lord, today, we simply ask, God, would you help us by your Spirit to trust you more fully? Lord, I want to trust you in every matter of life. Every matter concerning my family, concerning my job, my ministry, my health, my bank account. God, I want to just trust you with all of it. Knowing that you are good and that your promise is that you will care for me so that I can live in your blessing. Friends, if there is anyone today that just says, I've put my trust in a lot of things, but I don't know if I've ever really put my trust fully in Jesus. Now, what a great opportunity. Because he is here to bless you, to express his favor and his love to you in ways that you cannot at this moment imagine, to experience his forgiveness and the grace of his freedom that he has for you, and just his overwhelming love. If there is anyone today that says, Pastor, I want that. I want to walk in his blessing, and I want to put my trust fully in him. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Yeah, man. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So much for you. So much for you. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your provision and for your love. For your blessing. And there's so much of it, Lord, that we can freely give it away. You're so good. Amen. Amen. I just want to have our ministry team just come right up to the front. If there's any that are facing challenges, difficulties, things that, man, before you walked in this morning, those were things you used to worry about. But that was in the past. Today we want to pray with you for anything that may be a concern that you brought in this morning as just like an issue of your heart. That we want to pray with you because you never have to face these things alone. You have Jesus and you have a church family that is standing alongside of you. And what an honor it is to get to walk this journey together. Isn't it good? God is so faithful and wonderful. And listen, if you were one of those people that said, man, today I am putting my trust in Jesus, it would also be our honor for you just to come, receive prayer. We would just love to pray blessing over you. And we also have a little gift. It's just a little booklet that just talks more deeply about what it means to continue saying yes to Jesus. So we would love to gift that to you. So come on as well. Have a great week, friends. I am already looking forward to part two in our Multiply series. Invite a friend. It's going to be so rich and so good. You are loved. Have a great week.